3, and I'll begin reading with about the 7th verse. Unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. I like that. Ooh, you got a little power. Praise God. A little strength. Thou hast a little strength. Amen. Amen. And hast kept the word, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, which are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Hallelujah. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell up on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. He said, I am he that hath the key of David, that openeth no man shutteth, shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door. Amen. Here we stand on the banks of another year. Another year is opening before us. Amen. The portals are swinging wide. This won't take long. Amen. And if you live and Jesus tarries, you will go in. To 1998. Amen. In fact, you're so close to it, you just about have to commit suicide and hurry up at it to keep from going in. Amen. Woo, you're going to have to get with it if you miss 1998. It's staring you in the face. Praise God. Amen. Philadelphia was the rapture church. Amen. Ah, yes. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them. Amen. Open door. That's what John saw in heaven. Amen. Rapture generation. There are many that make real good preaching out of the fact that these churches represent a different age each. They say Ephesus represents the apostolic age and takes us into the first couple of hundred years, maybe. Amen. And then Smyrna is the persecuted church, persecuted by the Roman Empire, and as they threaten to annihilate the church. Amen. And Pergamos and Thyatira are the degenerate churches of the Constantinian and Theodosius era, as Romanism took over the church and so forth and so on. And they can pretty well preach which one is which age. Amen. But the fact is, every one of these churches existed side by side. Amen. In less than 100-mile radius, there they were. Some of them not 25 miles from the other. Amen. I mean, 50 miles apart, 25 miles apart, 75 miles apart. You could have all these extremes. You could have the cold church of Ephesus, the poor persecuted church of Smyrna, amen, the Pergamotes and the Thyatirians. That sound anything like any denomination you hear about today? Amen. And then we got the Sardonians. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. The church of Sardis. They say that's the Reformation era. Amen. But the truth is, they had a bunch of people in a church in a town called Sardis. A bunch of Christians that had a name that, boy, you talk about PR, they had PR. Public relations. They had good PR. I mean, they could buy half page ads in the newspaper, Andy. Amen. Man, as far as numbers, they could encompass heaven and earth and make proselytes. They had the name, Jerry Wayne. Amen. But he said, you better get to work and strengthen the things that remain that haven't died yet, because you're in trouble. The church of Sardis, amen, was trying to look alive and is dead. Amen. You got a name that you live, but you're dead. And it's just a very small glimmer of hope for the Sardonians. Amen. The fact is, not very many miles from Philadelphia, probably Philadelphia is one of the furthest out of the bunch, on a earthquake-prone plateau that was really the doorway, amen, for the camel trains and the caravans that traveled from east to west. Amen. They had to pass by Philadelphia. That's why people stayed there. In spite of the fact that the ground shook, they stayed. In spite of the fact that it was dangerous to live in Philadelphia, they stayed. I like people that's got some stickability. And when the church shakes a little bit, they don't skip town. Amen. Hey, you know what happened to folks that skip out and leave church because things get shaken a little bit? Pretty soon things will shake in their family and they'll desert their family. Amen. Look out now. Amen. You know what happened to folks that divorce their church out of the will of God and go to another church? Amen. May not be too long until they're divorced from their family. Because that spirit of divorce and rebellion gets in a person. Amen. Gets in people. It don't stop very easy. It's hard to satisfy. Amen. I mean, It was expensive to live in Philadelphia because the ground shook. Amen. You could build a house ever so well and ever so high. Amen. Might get it shook down. You had to build it awful good in Philadelphia, an earthquake-prone plain. But because it was so advantageous, praise God, they stayed on. Hallelujah. They stuck. Glory to God. I appreciate folks that's got some stickability. Amen. They stay with it even though the ground shakes. Amen. 20 years ago, the ground shook at the Highway of Holiness Church. 21 years ago. A little over. Amen. And just because the ground was shaking, some folks left. Amen. But many of their lives have fell apart a half a dozen different ways since they left. You know what? They should have stayed. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to have to make up your mind that you're not going to jump every time the devil says frog. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, if you jump every time the devil says frog, you'll have you jumping all time. The first thing you know, you've jumped from the frying pan into the fire. Hey, amen. It's not going to get no better than Philadelphia out there. Hallelujah. Stay with it. Woo, glory to God. I mean, right alongside of all these other churches. I mean, that rich, affluent, Laodicean, self-satisfied church wasn't too far from Philadelphia. But praise God, that spirit didn't get a hold of them. They resisted the devil. Hallelujah. And God said, I like you. He said, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut, because I shut, and no man can open, and I open, and no man can shut. Oh, I like a God like that. I like a church like that. I like a church that's looking for the rapture. Amen. While Laodicea was all wrapped up in this world, amen, and Pergamos was all wrapped up in their adulteries and their fornication and their scandal. Amen. Ephesus all wrapped up in their spiritual coldness and lack of love. Hallelujah. Philadelphia had the love. Hallelujah. It was so wonderful that everybody saw it. They called him Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. That's the rapture generation. I want you to know it's not much different today. I mean, in the same town with 100 other churches, there can be one that's a rapture church. There can be one that's ready. There can be one that's separated from the world. They've kept the word of His patience. And He'll keep us from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world to try them. Praise God. Oh, He speaks often of that dreadful, dreadful time. Amen. What will 1998 bring? Will it bring rapture? Or will we meet God another way? Sister Richardson met God another way in 1997. Amen. She's no longer sitting back there about where Sister Crouch and Pam sitting, ready to testify at the drop of the hat and drop it herself. Amen. She's no longer there. She met the Lord. She was longing for Him. She wanted to go. She didn't want to stay. Amen. That, folks, is a resurrection generation. That is a rapture generation. Hallelujah. I don't want nothing here to hinder me. I want my life to be what He'd have it be. Praise God. I want to be in the rapture generation, don't you? Amen. Look around you. There's empty seats. Folks that you used to shake hands with went out in 1997, 1996. Amen. They left behind a good testimony. And because I was... Oh, we which are alive, you know, the Bible said, we won't precede or prevent them that sleep. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Hey, they're part of the rapture generation too. Amen. Amen. No, you don't have to belong to the Highway of Holiness Church to go to heaven, but you're just well to go first class. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. Amen. I'd rather go first class singing and shouting the victory and the praises of God, praise God, than to go out of some dead church or some false front church or some church with just a facade or some church that had a name they're all interested in. Is a name, how they look in the eyes of the world, how they look in the eyes of all these others, and they've achieved one thing. They got a name. And that's all they got. Amen. Is dedicating a new church in southern Illinois. Preachers gathered in. Brother Wayne Owens was there. Amen. Brother Harold Carter was there. And amen. He looked over and talked about what a wonderful church Brother so-and-so had. And Brother Wayne Owens just held a revival there for a week or two. Those days you held two-week revivals, if you held revival at all. And he turned over and looked at Brother Carter and said, yeah, but that's all he's got. All he had was a new building. Not much else. Amen. Woo, glory to God. I'd like to go to heaven first class, wouldn't you? I'd like to go to heaven on fire for God, wouldn't you? I'd like to go to heaven with the power of God in my life. I'd like to go to heaven for the church, praise God. Amen. That has preaching, praying, shouting, singing, that fully preaches a full gospel. Hallelujah. And every once in a while, the Spirit of God moves from one end of the house to the other, and the preacher don't even get to preach, at least at the allotted time. Amen. So several years ago, we started having prayer service at the beginning and started one off preaching. So that way, a few folks will always get a little preaching if you come early enough. Amen. But I said, we had a wonderful service last night. No preaching. We don't have them like that at the highway. We always have preaching. We started out preaching. Praise God. That way we always have preaching, praise God. If you want to shout on the 9 o'clock, it's okay. Amen. We fully preach the full gospel. We stand tonight before the golden door. We reach to take the latch in our hand. Walk over the threshold of a brand new golden year. And we may walk right into the rapture. By the way, are you looking for him and ready if he comes in the next 5 minutes? I'll give you a little more time. Are you looking for him? Are you ready to greet him if he comes in the next 10 minutes? I asked Harold Jones, my insurance man, who taught Sunday school in Methodist Church in Barberville, Kentucky. He's a State Farm insurance man. I asked Harold Jones if he was ready to meet the Lord if he came in 10 minutes. He thought about it for a moment. He looked at me and said, you believe that anybody knows that? Amen. I visited a man in Franklin, Ohio several years ago. His daughter asked me to visit him in the hospital. I went to the hospital. He'd gone home. He had tried to commit suicide. Slit his wrist. So I went to his house. I found him at home sitting on the side of his bed with his wrists all bandaged up and his chin in his hand with a woe-begone look on his face. I talked to him about being ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. I asked him a few questions, and the way he answered them, I figured out right away he was a disciple of Herbert W. Armstrong and Garner Ted Armstrong. He said, I said to you, are you ready to meet the Lord if you come in the next 5 minutes? Are you born again? He said, can't nobody be born again. You know, Herbert W. and Garner Ted tell you can't be born again. Only way you're born again is when you die. And that's where you get born again. Amen. He said, nobody can be born again. He's sitting there with his chin in his hands. Woe begone look on his face. Wrists all bandaged up. I said, I have. Said, pshaw, he said, you can't, if you were born again, he said, you'd be a spirit walking around. Of course, that's, amen, after you die, you know, your spirit leaves the body, you know. That's where you get born again in the worldwide church of God. Garner Ted and Herbert W. You live any old way you want to in this world as long as you pay your tithes, amen, and keep the law, live about any way you want to. I mean, they have a convention in the city, you know, while the beer joints have a toll house business. They like to see the worldwide Church of God come into town because they do a lot of partying, a lot of drinking. You don't have to live much to join some churches. I said to him, I said, if I listen to you, I'll be in the same shape you're in. Sitting down with his wrist bandaged up. Amen. Can't nobody have the Holy Ghost? I said, I got the Holy Ghost. Can't nobody know they're ready to meet the Lord? I said, I know I'm ready to meet the Lord. I didn't win him to the Lord, but I softened him up. I let go of all the artillery I had. Amen. And after I'd done shot off all my artillery, Billy Wilson came by after I did. Amen. Pastor just down the road from me. He was still in Middletown at that time. Hadn't moved out on 122. Amen. Billy Wilson came by and prayed him through. Got him saved. Hey. Amen. You can join the rapture generation. And regardless, a lot of these other churches don't live much. And a lot that once claimed wholeness, they don't live much. Oh, they put on a pretty good front when they get to church, but their private life stinks. Amen. They're in bad shape. Amen. You don't have to know too much about them. As a matter of fact, they don't want you to know too much about them. That's why a lot of them find a big church to go to so they can hide behind a whole bunch of people while they sin. They don't want you to know too much about them. Amen. A lot of them have left here to do that. And their lives are falling apart. They're living ways they never thought they'd live. Doing things they never dreamed they'd do. Right beside each other. Right in the same town. A church that's ready for the rapture and a church that's living it up in the world. Amen. It's happening right before your very eyes. Philadelphia was ready to go through the golden door. And God said, I'm opening it for you. And I want you to know He'll open this one and the next one and the next one and the next one until the last one He opens will be the rapture and we stand on the glassy sea. Are you ready? I love it, don't you? I want the reality. I like the real thing. Woo-wee, I like the real thing. Richard got to preaching how much better it was for you than margarine. I went and bought me a pound the other day. I ate so much of it with good old white bread that the next morning I checked my sugar and it was 196. Amen. I found out one thing, butter's not very good for. It's not too good for you. Sugar, if you eat too much of it. Listen to that, Gina. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! I like the real thing, though, don't you? Fact is, we've eaten so much margarine nowadays that we like it better than we do butter. We've developed a taste for margarine. The thing we greatly feared has come upon us. Man, I never thought it would happen. I remember the first margarine we ever got when you couldn't get butter in World War II. It was a gob of white stuff, looked like lard. And they sent a little package of red coloring to put in it. And you mixed that coloring in it and mixed and mixed and mixed and it turned it a different color than white. And after you did all that work, as far as we was concerned, it still wasn't fit to eat, but we were hungry. Amen. Our first experience with margarine. But man, we've eaten so much of it, we've decided it's better than butter. Amen. I still like a real thing, don't you? Amen. And even now, if they want to advertise a new margarine, they say, it tastes like butter. It tastes like the real thing. They're trying to get it to taste just as much like or even better than butter. If possible. Whew. There's a lot of counterfeits today. And let me warn you tonight. If you're shallow and you're prone to chase every wind that comes through. Amen. You will be held responsible for the decisions you make. You get bitter and hang it up and say, oh, what's the use? I don't want anything to do with anybody. That's what one preacher said, don't want anything to do with wholeness people anymore. They had paid his bills, took up offerings for him. Amen. Helped to pay his hospital bill. Didn't want anything to do with wholeness folks anymore. Bitter! I want you to know, I feel sorry for people like that. I have compassion for people like that. But you are responsible for the decisions you make. And it'll be nobody's decision but yours in the last analysis. and nobody's record but yours. And you'll be the one that'll have to face it. A brand new year to either decorate it with gifts of love and self-sacrifice, prayer and fasting, revival and going to church and helping others. Amen. Or a year that we can blight by neglect and disobedience and rebellion and carnality and fleshly lust that war against the soul. Amen. They used to have a song when I was a boy that they sung over one of the stations I'd turn on in the morning. They sung a lot of old ballads. And one of them was a story of two school children. A girl was writing to the boy. And the title of the song was, "You Blighted My Happy School Day." I kept all the notes that you wrote to me. I wrapped them and folded them with care. But you blighted my happy school day. She's writing to this young man in school. She said the teacher was watching with wondering eyes, but she only looked in vain. If she had known, she would have sympathized. You blighted my happy school days. A relationship gone bad. Liberties taken that never should be taken. Two young folks became too familiar, and one's writing to the other. The story's all there. It's just kind of veiled with the caption, "You blighted my happy school days." God's give you another year. And you can decorate it with love and goodness and faithfulness, or you can blight it by sin and rebellion and a desire to be macho.